You would please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Yeah, I saw my daughter down there waving like, are we going to? I'm thinking to myself, boy, it's a good thing when you got children that want to participate in something, especially for the goodness of God and his kingdom. So that was all right. We appreciate the choir. We appreciate the, of course, the musicians and all that gives into the working of the Holy Spirit, the working of God. All right, today I want to introduce you to a couple of people. And some people already know him. Some people do not, or them, I should say. Some people do not. And then there's one particular individual that I want to introduce you to, or share with you, I should say, that some people don't even want to know. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about Jesus Christ. But let's see what it says. Let's pray, first of all. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm thankful that, Lord, you are a wonderful God and that you have given us your word. You've given us the message to cleave to hold on to, God, and hold on to it fast. And I praise you that, God, we certainly will seek you in all of our ways, all of our doings. And thank you for binding the adversary that will try to steal, kill, and destroy that which you do give to us. In the name of Jesus, we bless you and say amen. The book of St. Luke, chapter 10, starting at verse 1, and this is what transpired in Jesus' days. It said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would go come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And unto whomsoever, whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves to us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. I want to talk a little bit about, as I look forward into 2008, I want to talk specifically today concerning church growth, but more specifically, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As I said, I wanted to introduce you to a couple of people. The first person I want to introduce you to is Jesus Christ. Some of you, as I said, know him. Some perhaps don't, and I'm making the introduction for those that do not know Jesus Christ. First of all, he is the Son of God. He came into the world to save that which was lost, and that included all of us, certainly at one point in time. And one of the reasons why he did that, he died on the cross, was because God loved the world so much that he was willing to give his son Jesus to die for the whole world, even though it may have only been one that actually received him. And therefore, we receive salvation through and by the way of Jesus Christ and the work that he has done on the cross. And of course, it was a horrible thing that he dealt with, but all in all, he did deal with death. He dealt with sin. He dealt with the hell and the grave. But here's the thing I want to get across concerning what Jesus did when he sent them out. He said he sent out 70 in the number of twos. And the idea is that when we go out to minister, really, or witness, we should do it in twos to help encourage one another and as well to as support to each other. But the thing that Jesus was really trying to do, he was trying to expand the kingdom of God in the way that he had means to do it. He sent people out, and they went out preaching, and they went out teaching, they went out witnessing, and he even gave them instructions to go into the house, and for those that would receive you, go in, sit down, and eat, for you are worthy of receiving that which they put before you, but don't be complainers that you will turn away from that which they want to bless you with. And for those that will receive you, you go in and minister to those people, even heal the sick if you run across people that were sick. But for those that would not receive you, he said to turn your back to them, as it were, walk out of the city, walk out of the house, and in essence have the attitude, even the dust that's connected to your house on me, I'm wiping it off because I don't want anything as far as the hindrance of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven to cleave to me. But Jesus was trying to expand the kingdom of God. And here's what I get out of this. As much as Jesus tried to expand the kingdom of God, the method that he had and the way that he had to do it was very, very limited. When you and I go out and minister, when we send people out to preach and share the gospel, it's one thing to do it and to do it with the power and the authority that is sent by you, but it's another thing when the power that is going before us can do a greater and mightier work than what we can do of ourselves. And so Jesus, the methods that he basically used were by preaching and, of course, by just witnessing the goodness of God. Now, that was good enough for the day and the time that it was set forth. But then there will come, for them, there will come a greater time that the word of God and the kingdom of God will spread, and really it was set to spread like wildfire, because Jesus' goal was always to grow the kingdom of God. And really, here's the way that it really is. You might think to yourself, well, Jesus came to share the gospel and to share the good news, and we can see that in Luke chapter 10. But it was really never, ever Jesus' responsibility to cause the kingdom of God to grow like it needed to have grown. If you remember, when he first appeared on the scene as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as it were, he chose 12 people. And of these 12 people, he said, listen, I want you to go forth. He trained them for 3 years, and he said, I want you to go forth, and I want you to minister. 12 people with Jesus, and then there came other people. As it says here, there were 70, and then in other cases, there were other disciples that came. But still, all in all, if you look at the time frame and the method that they used, it took a long time for Jesus to touch people's lives. Because the only way that he had to do it was to preach. The only way that he had to do it, not Jesus himself, but the disciples, they just went in twos and they just ministered in that way. So really, the kingdom of God was designed to be expanded, but not in the way that it was done through them. There had to have been another source, another means, another group, as it were, that was to cause the greatness of the kingdom of God to expand. And that was by in way of the church. When the church was established, immediately the kingdom of God began to expand in a great and mighty way. And I'll get to that point later on. But I want to make this statement here. See, the church cannot do it all alone. It takes the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And that's the other individual that I want to introduce us to, because there are so many people that have heard of the Holy Spirit. There are so many people that know about the Holy Spirit, but then, believe it or not, there are some people that are afraid of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the best friend that we can have on this earth, because he's able to do things in us and through us in ways that we cannot do alone. He's able to move in ways that we cannot of ourselves move. And therefore, it takes more than just a church, because the church can't do it alone, but it takes the combination of the Holy Spirit and the church, the methods of Jesus Christ, and the operation of the Holy Spirit to do this great work that needs to be done throughout the earth. And we're talking about this day and time, 6-7 billion people that needs to be touched by God, and one man can't do it, one church can't do it, one group of churches can't do it. It takes the moving of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you would, please turn with me to the book of St. John, chapter 16, because it shows something about how it was that Jesus introduced this individual that I want to, in a way, introduce you to. St. John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. St. John 16, 7 through 11, and it reads, this is Jesus speaking now, because he's at the point in time wherein he's about to be crucified and he's about to leave the earth. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go, the Comforter," who is the Holy Spirit, by the way, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." He's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on him, or on Jesus rather. He's going to reprove the world of righteousness because Jesus go away to the Father and you won't see Jesus. This is what he's telling the disciples. And the Holy Spirit is going to reprove the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And those are three things that the Holy Spirit himself is going to do. And he's going to do it in a way that Jesus didn't do it. He's going to do it in a way that people can't do it simply by preaching. But the Holy Spirit can do something that no man can do, and that is he can touch the heart when nobody else can touch the heart. He can touch the mind when no one else can touch the mind. He can do something within us that nobody else can do because he's able to convict people. He's able to cause people to see things more clearly. He's able to do things that will cause people to listen and look and learn, wherein by you telling them yourself just won't receive it. And in fact, when Jesus Christ was preaching and he was teaching, there were many people that heard him and they were astounded by his sayings and astounded by his ways and his healing power. Of course, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do it, but they rejected Jesus Christ because that's the way it is sometimes in life. People like the idea of knowing the truth, but sometimes they don't want to receive it from the person that is the truth giver. Moses gave the children of Israel the truth and he gave them the law. And there were many times that Moses was not liked by those that he gave the law to. "We don't mind the law, Moses. We just don't like you. And we will stone you." In some cases, they were willing to stone him. They hated him as a result of him, in some cases, being connected so closely to God. They didn't like it when he went away for 40 days. And they didn't see him. They wanted to say, "Okay, let's pick up tent and move on anyway." But that's the way it is about life sometimes. We will love the law, or we will love the grace, but we don't want the grace giver. We don't want the law giver, because we have a way of finding out that we don't like people sometimes. But this is what the Holy Spirit was able to do. And Jesus said, "It is important, and it needs to be done soon, that I go away to the Father, because if I don't go away to the Father, I can't send the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, unto the earth to do a great and mighty work, even more so than what I'm able to do." Because Jesus was only one person. You are just one person. The church is just one organization, or one organism, as it were. The church, I'm talking about local church. But through the Holy Spirit, things can happen and begin to take place far greater than you can imagine, far greater than you know, to get the work accomplished that needs to be accomplished. And in fact, the Holy Spirit, when it seems as if Jesus has left, as he said, "I go away," when it seems as if he has left, it is the Holy Spirit that will help you and I. It is the Holy Spirit that will show us things about us that we never would have thought that was in us, and then we see that the power of God can work through us, but it is done by the Holy Spirit. He is very important, and in fact, he's really for our well-being that he will come and touch our lives as we being the children of God, and he will help us to see God in the things that we're able to do, and that's why the Holy Spirit, we don't want to take him for granted. We don't want to take him and place him aside as if he's not an individual that needs to be received. We receive God. We receive Jesus Christ. But again, sometimes people are afraid of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to share with you how it is that people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. We think that in a sense that he's like a ghost. We think that he's a little bit weird sometimes. Because when some people receive the Holy Spirit, they do things that they may not normally or ordinarily do. In the day of Pentecost, in fact, if you would please turn to Acts chapter 2, starting at verses 1 through 4, we'll see something about what happened with the people that were in the upper room. Acts chapter 2. And this was actually the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit himself introduced himself to the world, and he did it on the 50th day, as Jesus said it, when I go away, I need to send somebody that will touch your life and do it in a way that you don't necessarily need me, Jesus, as it were, here, but you have someone that's going to comfort you. You have someone that's going to take care of you and move in you in mighty ways. Acts chapter 2, verses 1. And it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that is important for us to understand and to know. The Holy Spirit sometimes find it hard to come into a place when the people are not on one accord. When people don't have peace in their house, it's hard for peace to come in because the people that are in the house are not on one accord. God told the people at the Tower of Babel, he said to the Trinity, as it were, he said, listen, let's go down and see what they're doing. For these people have one mind, they have one language, and they are on one accord. And whatsoever they put their hands to, they will accomplish. God understands that in people, whether they are good or bad, when they come together, they'll do things, whether it is good or bad, they'll do things and accomplish things, and therefore the Holy Spirit is the same way. So when we want the Holy Spirit to be in this place, we have to be on one accord. We have to walk in unity, and we have to walk in love, and we have to walk in the power, in unionized power, to receive the things of God. And that's the way it was with them at the day of Pentecost. And it says in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to say this. As far as receiving the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, most people like the idea that God is out here as a Holy Ghost and he can touch my life no matter where I am. I can be in Russia, I can be in Africa, I can be in India, I can be in the United States or Canada or Mexico, and I like the idea that God is with me everywhere that I go. But the thing that I have a little challenge with is that sometimes God will touch me and I'll begin to speak in a language that I'm not even familiar with. I'll begin to speak in tongues, and I'll begin to do things that people might not normally see me do, and they look at it as if it is a weird thing, and therefore, they don't want the Holy Spirit. But as I said, the Holy Spirit is for our good. The Holy Spirit is sent forth for us to accomplish things that we can't do of our own power. The Holy Spirit is sent forth for us to accomplish and expand the kingdom of God like it can never be done of its own with just you or me, or even as we can see, even with Jesus Christ, he could not move and touch the world the way that he wanted to touch the world. Now, I'm talking about a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit had not come upon the earth as it needed to have done. And so in looking at that, let's look at it a little bit closer as to what kind of transpired. It says in verse 4, when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And there were some prerequisites about being filled with the Holy Ghost. They had to have been on one accord. A second thing that they were doing, that they were praying. And they were unctioning the Holy Ghost to come. And they were wanting this that Jesus had talked about to come down and just touch their lives and move in a mighty way. And therefore, for us, we have to want some things of God. Otherwise, we will never, ever get it. You'll never, ever receive salvation if you never ask for it. Jesus himself will never, ever come into our hearts if we don't ask him to come into our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is the same way. He will never, ever have come upon the earth in a sense had there not been a people that were in one place on one accord receiving the Holy Spirit to come into the earth. And he came into the upper room. But when he came into the upper room, he did not just stop there and say, I think I found my home in the other room, and this is where I'll stay. No, he wanted to come down and not just touch the other room, but he wanted to touch this heart and that heart. And he wanted to touch the hearts of children. He wanted to touch the hearts of grown people. And he wanted to do things in everybody that would receive him and acknowledge him that he could touch. Because it was the way of expanding the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. And he can do it much better than I can do it or a church can do it, because there are no barriers when it comes to the Holy Ghost. When he touched your life, he can cause you to begin to see how good God really is. When he touches your life and enter in, he can show you things about yourself that you want to perhaps put aside because you see it as a hindrance to what God really wants to do in your life. And in fact, he has a ministry like no other ministry there is. He has a ministry that's different from God. He has a ministry that's different than Jesus Christ, even though some of them overlaps, but still he has a ministry of his own. Even though God is one, he operates as one, still each one has a particular job that they were to do and that they were to do only. God could not have died on the cross. Only his son could have died on the cross for you and I. It was not the job of the Holy Spirit to die on the cross. It was not the job of God the Father to die on the cross. But through the works of Jesus Christ, because in order for God to have died on the cross, he had to have become a man that had blood that was able to be shed for you and I, for people in the world. The Son had to die on the cross. And God showed it really throughout all the ages how it was going to happen. He showed it to Abraham when he said that God will make a way by having a ram or a lamb, because Abraham was not supposed to really have sacrificed Isaac. He was showing Abraham, this is what I'm going to do, but I ain't going to hold back the knife. The nails are going to really go into his hands. The nails are going to really go into his feet. And the man is going to really die on a cross. And they are surely going to stick a sword or a spear through his side, and he's going to bleed. But Abraham, I'm showing you the things that are going to come. And so really each one have their own particular job. But let me just share with you a few things about the Holy Spirit and how it is that he's in a sense kind of unique. First of all, I want to say this, that it was prophesied by Joel in the 17th verse of Acts chapter 2. It is said, and it shall come to pass that in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy or preach. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall have dreams, which shall dream dreams. And on my servants or my chosen ones, and on my handmaidens, even the women, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They will speak things that are unknown perhaps to men. They will speak of future events. They will preach, as the word prophesy means here. And then in the 19th verse, God says it, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. In essence, what God was speaking, he was speaking from the time of the day of Pentecost even until the time of the tribulation, when he says that the sun is going to turn colors or be darkened, the moon will turn to blood, and he's going to show signs and wonders. All of that is by the moving and the power of God, and that the Holy Spirit is operating here in the earth. Really, when you think about it, the Holy Spirit, although he has the power to to destroy, as he did with Ananias and Sapphira. For the most part, the Holy Spirit wants to lift us up. He wants to comfort us, and that's what Jesus was saying about him. I send forth the Comforter, and the Comforter is come to help us and give us strength in times of need. Acts 2, 32 through 41, I just want to read these last scriptures here to kind of show you the Holy Spirit, some things about the Holy Spirit. 32 through 41, and it says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has sent forth this, which ye now see and hear. But David is not ascended into heaven, but he said himself, the Lord say unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, listen, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Which shows me that there are some prerequisites to receiving the Holy Ghost. We have to repent, and we have to remit our sins, and then the Holy Ghost is willing to come in to a heart that's been opened up, and a heart that wants to receive the goodness from him. And he says, for this promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I want to say something in reference to that particular verse that talks about how it was that 3,000 souls were saved. We understand that by grace, God gives life. But by the law, death comes. Every man that tries to live under the law will die. Because there's no way to keep the law. There's no way that you can accomplish the things that the law require. And so for the children of Israel, when Moses brought the Ten Commandments down, he saw them out there in the wilderness. And when he came down with the law to say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God and only him. When he came down and saw the children of Israel rebellious, he threw the Ten Commandments down. And believe it or not, 3,000 people died on that day. It shows that the law itself will kill. But on the day of Pentecost, it says that when the Holy Spirit came, in the law of grace, or the grace that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, it says that it was added unto them on that given day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. It shows the difference between what the law will do and what grace will do. Because on one day, 3,000 died. On another day, 3,000 were added to the church. Or in other words, they were saved and they were received. But the power came through the Holy Spirit, because even as much as Jesus worked through his 3 years, he may not have really gotten 3,000 people saved. Surely they followed him and they wanted something to eat and they wanted to be healed, but they might not have really ever given their lives to Jesus. But on that given day, it shows how the expansion of the church just took place and it exploded just like that, because the Holy Spirit can do something that you and I as a man or a woman cannot do, because he can touch. And here's the Holy Spirit's ministry. You may like it or you may not like it, but certainly he's involved with much of this. The Holy Spirit's ministry is really to come and indwell in each person that believes on Jesus Christ. He comes to make you a better person. He comes to put something in you that can cause you to do things that you may not normally do of your own self. He came to give boldness as it was in the day when Peter stood up before them and he began to preach and to show them that, listen, I know I put my foot in my mouth a number of times, but the words that I speak today, I'm not fearful for my life. I'm before people that may not receive me, but the Holy Spirit will give you and I boldness. You might think to yourself that you are a shy individual and, no, I can't share the gospel with other people. If you allow the Holy Spirit to come into you, to stir up that gift that is within you, you be amazed as to what you can do, what you will say to people, and how it is that you will go boldly and talk to people about the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit came to bring things into remembrance. Some of us have done things and we've said things concerning God and we've forgotten all about it. We read the Bible and we've forgotten all about it, but in the time and the day which we need a word to speak, the Holy Spirit will bring the goodness of God to us, and we will reveal that goodness of God because he come to bring things into remembrance. He come to cause us to remember how gracious God is and the worlds that's to come, how God's going to destroy it for those that are not right. He came to comfort us, and certainly all of us ought to understand how we need some comforting. Some of you, when you came through those doors this morning, you had some turmoil that was going on in your life, and you just wanted somebody or something, as it were, to touch you and comfort you because you're going through a trial. You're going through a tribulation, but the Holy Spirit is come to soothe you and to comfort you, to give you an assurance that everything is going to be all right, to give you the knowledge and a word to let you know that all is well because I am the comforter and I can come along beside you and I can hold you like nobody else can hold you. I can talk to you when nobody else around you is even able to say anything to you because God knows how to speak to the head and he knows how to speak to the heart. Many times when I've thought to myself, God, I don't know what to do, don't know which way to turn, but the comforter comes in and he speaks to me and says, listen, just settle down. It's going to be all right. So whatever it is that you are going through today, rest assured that the Holy Spirit, who is with us all the time, if we will allow him to be, will come in and just soothe that situation. You might have jail facing you. You might have a bill. You may have something that is pressing in you and in your household, in your life, and all we need is the comforter to say, it's going to be all right because I've taken care of it. But we have to be receiving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come. He'll give you power as he gave the disciples power to heal many times. I'm of this persuasion here, that one of the reasons why God will allow us to heal, lay hand on the sick and cause them to recover, is so that you, in doing something good for somebody, is able to now minister to that person. And so when I saw Jesus feeding the hungry, healing the sick, open up the blind eyes, causing the ears to be opened, in essence, those people didn't get saved at that moment in time, but what it did do, it showed his goodness, and then they were able to listen to what it was that he had to say. Because this man had power. And now, because he's done something good for my life, I'll listen to anything that he says, and certainly Jesus had an opportunity and a way to preach the gospel. Remember what he said in John 16th chapter of John? He said, listen, when you go into a house, and they allow you to come in peacefully, you sit down, break bread with them, pray for them, heal the sick. But if they don't, you turn your back and walk out of those doors. And the reason being is because when a person ain't going to receive you, they just ain't going to receive you. But it makes it a lot easier for someone to receive you when you can do something good for them. When I can walk into a house and lay hands on a child that's sick, and the parent is concerned about that child being healed, that parent will listen to anything that I have to say if I can lay my hands on them and heal them. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to do that. The Holy Spirit will show signs and wonders. He show it through us. He show it through other people. He show it through means of just coming down into the crowd. And the last few things I want to say about the Holy Spirit is this, and it operates, as it operates through us, the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom when you don't think you're smart enough to know anything. He will give you the unction to show some love when you just have a hard time just dealing with people. The Holy Spirit can break down that fallow ground, and he can cause you to love somebody even when they're hating you. It is the working of the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit to do all of that because God is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven, whether you think it or not. I know he said that if you abide in me and allow my word to abide in you, you can ask me of anything. And he said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. What he was in essence saying is that I might go away, but I'm sending forth my spirit to always be with you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that has been here for 2,000 years. He's been the one that ain't going to go anywhere. Even when the rapture takes place, he's still staying on the earth to draw people into himself. And therefore, I just say this. We need the Holy Spirit to come down and reign upon us today. Enjoy Ministry needs it. Enjoy Ministry needs the power and the anointing and the moving of the Holy Ghost to be in this place. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit come visit us right now. We're going to pray and ask that he will come and touch us. We're going to pray, first of all, that we will be able to remit our sins unto him, because unless we're willing to do that, you can forget about the Holy Ghost resting and abiding in you. And when we pray this prayer, when we ask him, we're going to ask him, and we're going to stand, and we're going to move by his power, and if somebody needs to be healed, you receive your healing. If somebody just wants to know how to speak in tongues, you speak in tongues. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let somebody on the left or the right or what people think, don't let it hold you back. Just receive that which God has to give. Because if you want it, God got it for you. If you need a healing, if you need some wisdom, if you need some direction, the Holy Spirit wants to give it to you. And he wants to give it to all of us, because this is what I'm trusting in. Even with the young children, I'm trusting as we ask God that we're doing it in one accord. And that our hearts and minds are glued together to say, God, send forth your anointing right now. So if you would please, let's stand. And we're going to ask God to anoint us by the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. And you might say to yourself, I thought the Holy Spirit was already in this place. The Holy Spirit is in this place, but he may not be in you. The Holy Spirit is in this place, but he may not be in me. And I want to ask him to come and touch my life, God, because I want to be different. I want to be in a way that I can certainly heal and walk by your power, walk by your anointing, walk by your boldness, God. So that I don't be ashamed of you when I'm at work. So that when I go out into the places that I don't find myself doing things that, God, I'm not supposed to do, because the Holy Spirit can convict me when I'm doing something wrong. And when I'm not staying locked in to the brother and into the sister, the Holy Spirit can say, Stephen, you know better than that. Sister Angie, see, you can talk to me. You say something to me, I say, what do you know? You don't know anything. But when God speaks to a person, he also prepares the heart so that that person will learn and they will listen. The thing I know this much about God and what the Holy Spirit did in the early days is that when they made a statement, it got the people attention. When God tore down the Tower of Babel and when he confused the languages, it got the people attention. When Ananias and Sapphira decided that they wanted to cheat the Holy Ghost and they dropped dead, perhaps from a heart attack, it got their attention. And that's one reason why the Bible said that, and some of them feared because of the wonderful things and the mighty things that took place by the Holy Spirit. So right now, let us connect our hearts and our minds. The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pray that God will forgive us for our sins. I'm going to pray that he will remit them and pull them out of us. And it doesn't matter where you are, I want you praying this prayer to yourself, to God, because you don't want the Holy Ghost to come and you're the one that's on the outside. And after I pray this prayer of remission unto God, we're going to pray and ask the Holy Ghost to come down and shower the gifts on each one of us. And don't you be seeking the gift that I got. I ain't going to be seeking the gift that you got, because God has made all of us individually. And he's going to pour the gift in you that perhaps you want, or that he wants you to have. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. First of all, we glorify your name. We bless your name. For you are mighty, you are wonderful, you are holy, you are good, God, and you are good to us. And we praise your magnificent name for all of your goodness and mercy. God, for just being here today to be able to exalt you and lift you up. We honor you and give you glory. And God, we know that we of ourselves are nothing. We are as the worms of the earth. We are as the dust, God, without life. But we call upon you and thank you that, God, through you that we can ask for forgiveness. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we receive forgiveness. And that we are saved, we are born again of the wrath, God, that is to come upon the earth. And we ask you, God, to come into our lives. In Jesus' name, God, we know that we are sinners, we fall short. But we remit our sins to you. We ask that you will forgive us. God, forgive me for the things that we may have thought. Forgive us for the things that we've done. Forgive us for the things that we've done to people and how we've treated people. How we've not walked in love. How we've not, God, showed concern. How we've stolen. How we've cheated. And God, how we've had just a bad attitude toward others. In the name of Jesus, forgive us. Help us, God, by your grace and power. And in the name of Jesus, because we ask, because we appeal unto you for forgiveness, we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cause us to turn from unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, we receive it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we receive it. We receive the blessing. We receive it, God. And now, my Father, my God, all of us, as we come together to praise you and bless you and honor you and unction the Holy Spirit to come and touch our lives, I ask that you will rain down upon us, God. Rain down the Holy Spirit upon us and touch us, God. Move by your power, by your Spirit. Cause us, God, to move by your ways. Cause us to love and to walk in wisdom. Holy Spirit, rain down. Please come down, Holy Spirit. Touch us, Holy Spirit. Touch us and move. Touch our hearts. Touch our lives. Touch our mind. Thank you, God, Almighty Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, cause us to speak with new tongues. Cause us to lay hands on the sick. Cause us, God, to walk in wisdom. Cause us to see you as to who you are. In the name of Jesus, 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 Holy Spirit, rest upon us. Give us peace. Give us a sound mind. God, give us a heart to love. Give us a heart, God, to just do the things of you and do the works that you've called us to do. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord right now. Bless him. Bless him with your tongues. Bless him with your unknown tongue. Bless him by the power and might. Oh, God, move through the sanctuary. Touch all of us, God. Touch the youngest. Touch the oldest, God. Oh, God, we ask. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit. We need you. We need you. We need you. Oh God, we need a word of wisdom. We need a word of knowledge. We need the power, God, to sustain ourselves from sin. We need the power, God, to walk upright. Oh God, to love and to cherish you. Help us, my God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, rain down upon us, rain down your Holy Spirit, rain down your Holy Spirit, rain down your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, thank you for touching the young people. Touch the young lives, Lord, touch the young lives. Cause them to walk after you and to seek after you like David did, God. And let the Spirit flow through them. Let them turn away from that which is evil and let them cleave to that which is right. Let them stay away from gains, God. I pray that you will anoint them and convict them. Move by your Spirit and your power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Anoint, Lord, anoint, 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 anoint. Anoint, touch lives, God, touch lives.